This is Radioactive Magazine, a KKFI public affairs program of progressive activism, opinion, and commentary. Opinions expressed on this program are those of the speakers alone and are not necessarily the views of KKFI, its staff, volunteers, board of directors, show hosts, or other guests on the program.
Hey, thank you for joining us here at KKFI. You're listening to 90.1 FM KKFI Kansas City Community Radio. And today we have Spencer Graves here. He's going to be interviewing two guests, which he will introduce, on the issue of net neutrality. And then we will ask Spencer some questions as well. Welcome, all. And Spencer, you want to introduce two guests?
Okay, so we've got Mark Samay and Brian Sullivan, and why don't you just, Brian, tell us why you're concerned about net neutrality and why you're here.
Well, I've learned basically from following Lawrence Lessig and Tim Berners-Lee, the man who invented the World Wide Web, and I consider them the guy that invented it, to be one of the top most authorities, and you can hear a lot of people on either side of the thing, but you know, he's my top most guy, and he and Lawrence Lessig, I'm biased towards them because they're not in it for the money.
Right. Mark? And right now I'm just representing, just as a dedicated follower of net neutrality, representing net neutrality KCMO. And basically, I believe it's extremely important to have the net. Prohibits internet service providers like AT&T, Comcast, and Verizon from spinning and speeding up, slowing down, or blocking any content, applications, or websites, you know, that you want to use. These big corporations, you know, we pay money to, would basically discriminate against people. The chairman, A.J. Pite, wants to destroy net neutrality, and it's very important for us to have the access to the internet. Small businesses depend on it, individuals, causes, whatever our political opinion, it should be something that we can discriminate and decide to see on the internet and make a comment about. So I just see that net neutrality is something that's very, very important. They shouldn't be controlling our applications or content. Without net neutrality, phone companies, like I said, would carve out into fast and slow lanes, and ISP can slow down the competition's content, block political opinions, and charge extra fees for what you access on the internet. And basically, release everything to a slower tier of service, so people that cannot afford expensive applications to the internet or subscriptions would have a very good, difficult time. I don't want a cable company or a phone company telling me what I can access on the internet. So I think it's important. There was a Title II, I believe, legislation that was to protect the access to the internet. It passed through Federal Appeals Court. And the current FCC chairman is trying to regressively go back in time and take away our rights.
So. Right, Mark, we have a brief setup piece, I think, that Craig is going to play for us.
Great.
Okay. You want to tell what it is? No,
go ahead. Go ahead. I think it gives may give its own introduction.
Net neutrality protests were held last Thursday, December 7, in front of Verizon stores in Kansas City, Missouri and Olathe, Kansas. These were two of reportedly over 700 protests in all 50 states. Over 15 people gathered at 3385 Main Street in Kansas City, Missouri, displaying signs saying things like, "Save the Internet," "Stop the FCC," and "No Slow Lanes." Another six gathered at 15239 West 117th Street in Olathe in freezing cold. Net neutrality entered the national consciousness in 2007 as documentation gradually appeared of how internet access providers like Comcast, Verizon, AT&T, and Time Warner Cable were blocking, throttling, altering, including stripping encryption, and redirecting people's requests for information from the internet. This generated an increasing wave of activism, reaching 3.7 million comments to the U.S. Federal Communications Commission in 2014 that convinced President Obama to classify internet access providers as telecommunications services in early 2015 under Title II of the Communications Act of 1934. In late 2014, then-candidate Donald Trump tweeted, "Obama's attack on the internet is another top-down power grab. Net neutrality is the fairness doctrine. We'll target conservative media." In late January of this year, President Trump named Ajit Pai to head the FCC. Pai quickly began to roll back some of the pro-consumer policies of Obama's FCC. On May 18, they adopted a notice of proposed rulemaking on, quote, restoring internet freedom, end quote. That's the freedom of internet access providers like Comcast, Verizon, AT&T, and Spectrum to block, throttle, alter, and redirect your requests for information from the internet. Almost 22 million comments on that issue were filed by the August 30 deadline. In late November, the FCC announced they would vote on restoring internet freedom on December 14, this coming Thursday. Let's hear from three of the protesters in Olathe.
This is about net neutrality, and the Trump administration is trying to get rid of net neutrality rules. With the net neutrality rules, let everybody have equal access to the internet.
The internet's just kind of fundamental to everyday living now. Net neutrality is one of the things that's made it that way. It's allowed anyone that starts a website to get access to anyone that wants to go to that website. The reason that there's a Facebook is because it was better than MySpace, is because MySpace is better than Friendster, and that's because of net neutrality. There weren't paid fast lanes or slow lanes where companies had to pony up if they wanted access to the customers of a particular network.
Yep.
So without net neutrality, that goes away. It's not about protecting Netflix and Google and Facebook. It's about protecting the next Google and Netflix.
It would also hurt the small businesses that kind of thrive and work through the internet.
You can contact your representatives in the U.S. Congress via House.gov or Senate.gov. You can connect with net neutrality supporters via battleforthenet.com.
Okay, so we're back live here, so the status is that the Federal Communications Commission is going to vote on their notice of proposed rulemaking on restoring internet freedom this coming Thursday, 2 days from now, unless the indications are that they will likely officially restore the legal right of the internet access providers to block content they don't like, block, throttle, alter, including stripping encryption, as I said, and redirecting people's requests for information from the internet. Unless enough people call their elected representatives in the next day or so to have them pressure Pai and the other members of the FCC to either delay the vote or to vote against it, then it's likely to go to the courts if they approve it. It's likely to go to the courts, the Electronic Frontier Foundation, and some of the groups in BattleForTheNet.com will step up to the plate and haul them into court to delay the tactic, and then it will become potentially an election issue next year. Any comments, Brian?
Well, my background is I've been a follower of Tim Berners-Lee, the guy who wrote the software for the World Wide Web, and he had the opportunity to make billions of dollars off it, and instead he gave it to humanity because he knew it would work better for the entire world. He didn't mean it to be, once you break it up into small pieces, it doesn't work, is what he says. It doesn't work that way, and that's just what they intend to do, is break it up into small pieces between all the internet providers, and that's not what it was created to do. So one of the big problems is they try to get out of being a utility. Title II controls water and electricity and these big things. They call them last mile providers. They spend money putting it in the ground and bringing it up to your house. And the problem here is in the last few years, they've not been just a content or an internet service provider, but they're also a content providers. Normally the content providers like Google and Netflix and YouTube, they deliver content to the provider, and then the provider delivers it to your house.
Exactly. I do not want the information that Verizon wants to provide me, Verizon or Spectrum or Comcast. I don't want their information. I want access to information provided by other people, and that makes them common carriers, communication service, under Title II of the Communications Act of 1934, I think, and the and Trump's supporters claim that the Communications Act of 1934 is obsolete and out of date. And frankly, on this score, I think we need common carriers, and that's the question.
And my concern is too, being a retired counselor, is that it's so important for people to be able to communicate with each other, and people from great distances are able to communicate on the internet and have relationships. But spreading the social, political causes that we need to be doing right now with the current administration, causing all the problems that we're having, it's so important to have an open media and not a media that's controlled by a handful of corporate bigwigs. So,
well, the problem comes when the provider becomes a content, or when the ISP becomes a content provider. They're not just a utility, but they're also competing with YouTube and Netflix. So it's in their advantage to slow Netflix and YouTube down, and so that people will buy their products. And that's where the conflict of interest comes. And network neutrality is repealed, then they'll be able to control everything you see and hear. They'll be able to throttle down their competitors and throttle up their own stuff, and that's just not fair. That's not free and equal. That's not the way Tim Berners-Lee invented the World Wide Web to run.
And I would argue that it's a violation of the First Amendment.
It's a form of censorship.
It's a form of censorship, exactly right. Congress is indeed making laws restricting freedom of speech and so forth in this regard. And it's similar to the Great Firewall of China and the fact that Erdogan in Turkey is blocking Wikipedia.
Yeah. Well, we don't need another Izvestia or Pravda. You know, we need sources
we don't
that are
need
not
the truth.
Regulated by
we them. Don't need the truth. Pravda, I think, is a Russian word for truth, I think.
Right.
Well, Tim Berners-Lee gave it to humanity so it would not be limited like the Great Firewall of China or North Korea. But now it's going to be limited by American companies.
Right. At least just a point of clarification. There's internet service providers provide all kinds of service in the internet. The ones that we're particularly concerned with here are internet access providers, being companies like Comcast and Verizon and AT&T and so forth, that provide the connection of the last mile or the last kilometer between the World Wide Web and your computer or your cell phone.
question I have is, this net neutrality was just passed by Obama administration a few years ago.
That's right. It was through Obama's Federal Communications Commission, through a similar notice of proposed rulemaking, followed by comments that generated 3.7 million comments, and then Obama weighed in and said, "Okay, let's use Title II of the Telecommunications Act," which is right.
All right, so. Were these problems, you know, everybody's talking about these problems that going to occur if we lose net neutrality. Were these problems existing? Is there evidence that these problems existed before net neutrality?
Absolutely, because the Trump administration and the big internet access providers claim that the internet grew under the so-called light touch regulation without net neutrality. But the reality is that the 22 million comments, the 3.7 million comments that were filed in 2014 that convinced Obama to regulate them under Title II were a response to actions by internet access providers like Comcast, et cetera, where they blocked in some cases and throttled in others and physically altered content, including stripping encryption and so forth. And all of that is documented in one of the most important of the 22 million filings that the FCC received. If you go to FCC.gov and look for filings. It's a little bit hard to find, but you can get a search capability and look for the Electronic Frontier Foundation and look for filings that they filed, especially regarding this particular notice of proposed rulemaking. I think it's 17-108, but, you know, that would get it to you a little bit quicker. But, yes.
Brian? Well, this is a young industry, and it hasn't been that long that the internet access providers got into the content provider business, just a couple of years. So there were a couple of years ago that Netflix was being throttled, and, of course, they were on their honor to not do that, and then they found out that they were doing that. And that, I think, is what brought about the 2015 intercession by the federal
FCC.
The right. FCC, and to stop them. Of course, then they were under a different director, and then Trump came in and got Ajit Pai, and they've just bulldozed their way through to getting network neutrality removed.
What it boils down to is we've got heavy-duty paid lobbyists that are going to be influencing our Congress to destroy net neutrality, and you can fight that by doing petitions to your congressmen, appearing in protests so your congressmen can see that. Join the organization, keep net neutrality, KCMO. This is our internet. It could be something totally different.
Right. So one point that I think I haven't heard mentioned here is that the mainstream media have a conflict of interest in reporting on this issue, because with net neutrality, small businesses can compete with big businesses on an equal footing. Anyone with internet access can compete in the marketplace of ideas based solely on the quality of their presentation. And there's a couple more points. In the year 2000, the U.S. led the world in internet adoption, but they've fallen behind, partly because the United States federal government has approved substantial mergers and acquisitions so that Comcast is quite a bit bigger than it was, for example, and Spectrum is quite a bit bigger than it was in the year 2000. And because they have that market power of most of the places they go, they're a local monopoly. And Kansas City is one of the few places with a competitive market, sort of a competitive market, but you're not going to find internet access offered by somebody who promises not to block, throttle, alter, or redirect your request for information from the internet. That's not going to be an option because all the options are big companies.
And just imagine not being able to go on Facebook and receive the information.
Well, but you can go on Facebook and you can receive the information you want. They're not going to complain about you sharing a few photographs with your family, but they are going to clamp down on sharing political messages that they don't like.
Exactly.
Okay.
Well, you may have to buy special packages to see YouTube or Netflix. You never know how far they're going to take it.
Well, yeah, but they're right. The primary thing they're going to do, I think, is they're going to slow down the internet or block their competitors. All right, so that the common consumer may not even realize what they're not getting. Okay, that's the most insidious part of this.
So sites like the Real News Network, they might be blocked.
Especially if you've got if they got videos, all right. If they've got videos, then they throttle them so that you're not going to wait forever to watch that video to download.
What about Democracy America too? I mean, they could be blocked.
Yeah, who knows? Right? Exactly. Okay.
Public education is a big thing that's going to suffer if you've got kids and they're looking at the internet for information. You know, you want to do a paper, that kind of thing. That'll be gone. I mean, don't just stop those sources.
The official reason that the FCC gave for this in their notice of proposed rulemaking on restoring internet freedom is that after Obama's adopted the Title II order, all right, the internet access providers, the major internet access providers, reduced their expenditures in their investments in new internet infrastructure by $1 billion or almost $1 billion. Well, and that sounds like a lot of money, but it's less than 3/4 of the annual changes in that number since 1996. So it was, and there are a bunch of other comparisons of different numbers that that was done by freepress.net that basically showed that the impact on investment or anything else was basically not measurable. And the New York Times said that it was that Isaac Pye had to cherry pick his numbers to to get something to make his case.
Why is a former lawyer for Verizon, you know, having the control over this thing? It just baffles me.
Well, but he's a pie. I looked it up. He was an attorney for Verizon for 2 years in between 2001 and 2003. And so that sounds like a long time ago. But he's, you know, he's been an upcoming attorney, and he's worked in a lot of different places. So that's, you know, maybe not such a strange thing, especially of course if he really does favor big business and Trump comes in to drain the swamp by putting the alligators in charge.
Well, one of the reasons the internet access providers are trying to get out of being ruled by the FCC is they say it should be open for competition. Well, I can tell you 100% sure that in my rural neighborhood, there is no competition. I only have one provider. And if he's going to block and throttle my stuff, I'm not able to go to another provider. And 50% of the people are in that category. Another 25% have two providers. Well, that means they have two of these dogs in the fight, and they're both the same thing. So that's not really competition at all. But they say, oh, you know, make it the competition because that's the American way to do business. It's not really happening.
I mean, if you want to buy something and save a price, I mean, you may just, you know, get access to certain stores, certain sources. So it's going to cost people money, particularly people that are on fixed incomes, people over the minorities. It is just going to be rough on our society.
That's right. And Craig,
where does Comcast stand on this?
Oh, Comcast is vigorously, they're going to be one of the primary beneficiaries. They're vigorously pushing for restoring internet freedom. They think their freedom should be restored. They officially, all the major internet access providers officially agree that with net neutrality. They just don't think it should be enforceable.
But couldn't this backfire on them because they also own NBC and MSN, which the conservative providers, other providers, might slow down those stations because they're liberal compared to Fox Network.
That's possible, but I think the big money interests are not likely to pick each other's pockets too much. They're more likely to pick the pockets of the small people. All right?
Well, they're in the – see, this allows them to be a dictator to get in the middle. They can not only charge from the content providers, but then they charge on the other end from the people – who are buying those services. So it's a...
Right. And there's a major summary that I wrote of this issue on Wikiversity, not Wikipedia, Wikiversity, called Net Neutrality and Restoring Internet Freedom. That's just a basic discussion of all the issues involved and so forth. So... Mark, you mentioned some organization here in Kansas City. I think that people can contact.
Well, the actual organization to contact, I mean, you can basically Google it. I'm looking for it right now. Is Keep Net Neutrality KCMO, and they did the multiple protests across the city. To get the attention of our senators and our people. So,
okay, great. There's also, as I believe I mentioned, battleforthenet.com. That's the national umbrella that I assume this is part of that.
I believe it is.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen, for that discussion on net neutrality. Next week on Radioactive Magazine, we will have Donna Simon. She is the pastor of the Hope of Peace Lutheran Church. Pastor Simon will tell her story of being a lesbian Lutheran pastor in an inner city church and the church's support for progressive and peace and justice issues. Stand by for a couple of messages.